We'll continue with the lessons that we have been learning on abundant joy. Abundant joy. And as you're turning in your Bibles, I would remind you that the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said in the book of John chapter 15, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord doesn't want us just to have a partial dose of whatever He intends for us to have. He wants us to have a full dose of it. Amen? He wants our joy to be full. And even as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, joy, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to have abundant joy in my life. Do you? I trust that you do. I want to have joy more than I want to be happy. Because if I have joy, I will be happy. Amen? Because joy and happiness may be first cousins, but joy is going to stick around when the going gets tough and happiness is going to hit the trail. You understand that? And so they might have some of the same feelings now and again, but they're not exactly the same. And the Lord wants you to have the joy that can come from relationship with Him. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 28, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Thy countenance. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that in the next few moments that You would speak to every heart by Thy Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that are characterized by the joy of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that others may see a reflection of the Lord Jesus in us and desire to know what it is that we have, and that, Lord, they may want to have it as well. Lord, use me, I pray, in this service to glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose wonderful name we pray. Amen. As we have been dealing with the subject of abundant joy in these past two Wednesday nights, we talked about the fact that we can have joy, the joy of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book in the Bible that talks to us about joy, in fact, whose theme is joy, is the book of Philippians. And in that book, we find this admonition, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The Bible gives us a clear indication that we can rejoice in the Lord in every circumstance of life. If we don't believe that, we just need to go to James chapter 1 where the Bible says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, which means many kinds or many different kinds of trials and tribulations. How can we have joy in the midst of all these things? Because we can have joy through the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ Himself. And as we look upon the light of His countenance, we can take comfort and have hope and joy in knowing that He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And know that that can produce a greater joy, a remaining joy than any other thing that we can name in this world. Friends, it is curious to me how that when we talk about joy, many of us think that somehow emotions are related to that. And yet joy is not an emotion whatsoever. It is something that is produced in the heart by God Himself. It's not conditioned upon the outside. Our emotions are a response to our circumstances, to our feelings, right? That change. And yet, friends, joy is something that even when circumstances are bad, and we may not have this positive sensory rush going on, that we can still maintain because it is as constant as our God Himself who does not change. I like the messages that the Lord's been putting on my heart for Sunday night on loyalty to the church, because I find that the basis for my loyalty to Him is His loyalty to me. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. But we also realize this. Let us hold fast our profession of faith, for He is faithful that promised. Right? So we recognize that the Lord is loyal to us. He's faithful to us, and He will never waver in His faithfulness to us. And friends, He will never waver in providing for us that which can buoy the spirit in the time of great tribulation and give you a confidence in Him that the world does not understand. And they may think that it's a drug. We just call it the Holy Spirit. Right? They may say, man, I don't know what in the world that you're on, but whatever it is, I'd like to have a little bit of it, right? And say, well, you know what? You can't buy it. You tease them a little bit. And you couldn't afford it if you had money anyway. You know, the truth is it was purchased with blood and God gave it as a gift. And He produces something in me that the world can't take from me. And the world never gave it to me. The world can't take it away from me. It's joy. And don't forget, and I'm not going to go back to all the verses of Scripture, but man, every time I come to this, I have to say it. And that is this, that if you don't have joy, it's nobody else's fault. Because Jesus said in John chapter 16, that your joy no man taketh from you. Your joy no man can take from you. So, look, if I don't have joy, I can't blame it on Linda. I can't say, well, you know, if Linda would just get in line, then, you know, things would be a whole lot better. I might could possibly have joy if she was being the kind of wife that she needed to be to me. No, I can't fob my lack of joy off on anyone else. If I don't have it, guess whose fault it is? It's my own fault. Now, we would like to pass the buck. That's kind of the way of the world, isn't it? It'd be nice to be able to say, well, you know, it was this woman that you gave me. But that, you know, that one's as old as Eden, isn't it? And so that one's kind of worn out. We can't say, well, you know, it's somebody else's fault. Friend, if you're bitter in your spirit, remember this. Joy and bitterness can never coexist in the heart. You know, joy and bitterness can never coexist in the heart. So, before we start trying to convince everyone of our joy in the Lord, we better stop for a minute and just remember what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? That I'm not going to be hypocritical or two-faced. I'm not going to, on one hand, say positive things, and on the other hand, say hateful things. Because, friends, doth the same fountain send forth bitter water and sweet? You know, look, God asks us that question because He wants us to understand that as we grow up in Him, as we begin to mature and are grounded in Him and not tossed about with every tribulation of life, we're going to have some consistency in what proceeds out of our mouth. But where bitter, envying, and strife is, James 3:18, there is confusion and every evil work. So joy and bitterness can never coexist in the heart. And so we've got to just take a step back and say, in order for me to detoxify myself, all right, I don't need a new cleanser. What I need is the cleansing of the Word of God. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we've got to see the bitterness released from our lives so we can have joy in the relationship that comes from God. And also Secondly, we said the joy of His release. And we know that the joy that comes is produced in us by the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. And so it is the Holy Spirit of God that produces that in the life of the believer. And I would just say this to you. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, have you ever been confined or restricted? Have you ever been oppressed and then released from that? How did that make you feel? Huh? Say, well, man, I was happy. But do you know what? I'll bet after the initial happy rush wore off, there was still something inside of you that just said, whew, right? And there was a joy about it. And when God sets you free from the law of sin and death, you know what it produces in you? A joy. Now, I want to show you something from God's Word that I think is a source of abundant joy in the life of every believer. And if you have your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And herein is a truth from God that to me is wonderful, because it talks about one of the most wonderful things in the world to me. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a... Say the next word.
Rest.
Rest. Don't you love that word? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, friend, I want to say this to you, that the Lord declared Himself in the Gospels to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord Sabaoth is one of the names of our God. Literally, Sabbath means to cease from labor. To cease from labor. So, what He's declaring Himself to be is the Lord of rest. Now, the Lord created all that is in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did He do? He rested. He rested from His labors. Why did He rest? Because the work was done. Right? It was all done. So He rested, didn't He? All right, so when Jesus went to the cross, He did the work of redemption, and then He ascended into the heavens, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high, and He took a position of rest. He entered into rest. Why? He said, it is finished. The work was done. And when you and I come to the place where we recognize that we no longer need work to obtain eternal redemption, but what God wants us to do is rest in Him, friend, I want to tell you, it's a glorious joy that comes to the heart. Now, I want you to think with me from God's Word. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Friend, I just want you to know something. That there's nothing more frustrating than laboring to no avail, than working for nothing than being on the treadmill of life, feeling like you're growing more weary every day and marking no progress whatsoever. It's frustrating. And sometimes in that weariness, all you want to do, all you can think of doing is just taking a break, right? And the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." What's that mean? You're working. You're trying hard. And are heavy laden. You're burdened down. Right? And I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and in school, I was always counting down the number of days till summer. Right? Were you like that too? And man, when we got to the last few weeks of school, everybody was crossing them off on the calendar and we were making big plans and we couldn't wait to be out. School was out for the summer, and I can remember getting out of school in the summertime when I was just a little guy, and I can remember staying in my jammies a little longer in the morning and just kind of lingering over the Cheerios for a few minutes longer, taking a little bit of extra time in the rack, even though Mom made us round out on summer days and make the bed and do the chores, we still felt like we got a little bit of rest. Man, we're going to take a summer break. And all summer long, man, we wanted to click our heels up and I wanted to grab my little Schwinn and my Daisy BB gun and be in the wind. And, that was what I looked forward to in the summertime. Some of y'all nodding your heads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I can remember just feeling, wow, I get to rest from all this studying. My brain is just, it's laden down with all this information. And I just want to rest for a minute. Just want to rest. And all summer long, it seemed like I basked in just the wonder of being able to sleep a little bit, play a little bit. And it seemed like I'd go back to school and, man, we'd be looking forward to a time of rest again. Counting days till Veterans Day or till whatever it was that we got to take off next. You too? And then after Veterans Day, man, it was Thanksgiving. And then from there, it seemed like forever to Christmas vacation, right? And then it was President's Day. Woohoo! You know? And we were just marking time. And we were looking forward to that rest. But I want to tell you this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let me say this to you. That I look forward all school year to summer vacation. And you know what? It lasted 90 days. It lasted 90 days. And then it was over. But do you know what? The rest that we have in Christ remaineth. And if you labor and are heavy laden in your soul, it's not because God is not there to give you rest. It's because you've refused to take a break from the labor. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. I want to tell you the joy that comes to the fatigued soul. I want to tell you about the release of the anxiety to the overworked soul who was only involved in the futile activity of the flesh. But now you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you come to the Lord and He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I don't know about you, but some days I'm just so tired, I just can hardly keep my eyes open. I think, man, I just need to catch a break. I need to take a nap. And then there have been days where I've gone home and I've laid down and I've slept for 8 hours. And I've got up in the morning and I felt like, man, I've been run over by a Mack truck. Like I need to go back to bed and sleep for another 8. Can I get a witness here tonight? Anybody else know what that feels like just a little bit? You know, the reason why I didn't feel rested is because my body may have been somewhat at sleep, but my whole soul was so filled with anxious care about things that the stress and the cares of a world prevented me from having rest. Not only does your body need rest, but your soul needs rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me and you'll find rest unto your soul." Your mind, your will, and your emotions. I don't know how to put this to you other than to say that if you're laboring and are heavy laden and you seem to be emptied of joy because of all of the pressures and cares of life, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And rest is not something earned, it's something given. He said, "I will give you rest." It's not like, work really hard and if I think you merit it, I'll give you a rest. No. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, "I'll give it to you if." He just said, "You come unto me and I'll give you rest." And there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high because the work necessary for your salvation was done. And you and I need to, by faith, enter into that rest and cease from laboring to try to find standing with God because we are made acceptable because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we can enter into what God has done for us. I think about what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is..." What, John? "Set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, it says the joy that was set before Him. And I've heard people misinterpret this passage of Scripture so many times. "Oh, you know, Jesus, that was joyful for Him to go and redeem man." I want to tell you something. It wasn't joyful for Him to do that. He said, in fact, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." That wasn't the joy that was spoken of. You know what the joy was? The fellowship of the Father. When the working was all done, you know what He got to do? He got to sit down and enjoy the fellowship with the Father. Who for the joy that was set before Him? Would you see there's joy in knowing that I don't have to labor to find acceptance with God? There's joy that comes from entering into the rest. There's joy that comes from the One who invites you into relationship, who also says, "When you come to me, I'm going to give you rest as a gift to you." Rest. Rest. I think sometimes we're so overwrought with care about the things of this world that we forget that He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes we refuse to rest in the sufficiency of His grace for us. We think, "Yeah, I know you're God and all that, and I know that, you know, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, and I know that you created all that is, you're omnipotent, you're immutable, you know, you're all of these great things, God, but, you know, it just seems like I need to try to do something else here." And we refuse to allow ourselves to just rest in the sovereignty of Almighty God, to rest in the sufficiency of His grace for just a moment. But God doesn't want you to do it for a moment. He wants His joy to remain in you and for the joy to be full. But if you're constantly thinking, "I got to do one more thing, I have to work harder, I have to try harder," there'll be no joy, only anxiety. There'll be no liberty and release, only frustration and consternation. I wonder what would more characterize your life. Would it be the frustration and the consternation? Or would it be the joy of His rest? You've heard me say, if you had to choose between a works system or grace system, what would you choose? If you had to choose between trying hard or resting, what would you choose? If you had to choose between an achieving system or a receiving system, which one would you choose? Well, listen, any wise person would say, that's a no-brainer. I'd choose the grace side. I choose the rest side. I choose the receiving side. But do you know what? Saying it and doing it are two different things altogether. Right? We can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to enter into Your rest, while we're working hard and trying hard and not hearing the still small voice of God saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I want to say this to you again. Go back in your mind to school days and put yourself 2 weeks before school's out for the summer and think about the stress you are under, trying to make the grade, take your finals and all that. And then finally, that last bell rang of the school year and you were free. And that first morning that you went, that you were out of school, did you sleep in? Was it good? And it felt good for 90 days. Guess what? There remaineth a rest to the people of God. These things have I spoken to you that My joy might remain in you and that My joy might be full. You know the anticipation of a time of rest, a break from it all. You can enter into that now. I know we labor here, but I'm talking about soul rest. I'm talking about a cure for the anxiety in the heart and the mind that thinks I've got to do one thing more to try to achieve the goodness of the Lord or try to achieve the kindness of God in my life. We're complete in Him, and His grace is sufficient for us. Would you see and rejoice in the relationship that He invites you to and have a joy in His relationship? And the joy that comes from the release that we have by His Spirit that sets us truly free. And the joy that we have because of the rest that we find in the finished work of Jesus Christ and then what He calls us to. I believe I'm talking to some people that are tired. And maybe even some that don't have a physical reason to be so tired, but yet they're still tired. And because you're so worn out, it seems like joy has hit the road. It wasn't joy, really. It was happiness that came to visit. But joy will come to stay if you let it. It's up to you. It's up to you, really. And when you decide you're going to let it stay, that relationship with the joy giver will be remarkable. And the release you feel and the rest you gain, the world can never provide with every sleep aid that it puts on the shelf. It'll bring you soul rest. I got to tell you, the world today is trying with chemicals to desperately put the mind at rest. And it can never happen. You know how I know that? I've been around some people who've lost their insurance and don't have their meds. You know what happens? It's trouble in River City. True or false? But God can give you something that you don't need a prescription for. It never runs out. And so long as you choose it, you can have it. Rest. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Rest in His sufficiency to care for your every need. And choose not to be filled with anxiety, because just as bitterness and joy cannot coexist in the same heart, neither can anxiety and joy exist in the same heart. They cannot coexist in the same heart at that same time. And so we need to say, okay, Lord, I need to get rid of these toxic things like anxiety, right? And bitterness, because they're wearing me down, they're killing me. And I need to be filled with Your relationship and with Your release and with Your rest, so that I can be the productive, joyous person that You've called me to be. You think about that as you go home tonight and put your head on a pillow and you hope to have rest. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this evening. Thank You for the devoted, faithful folks that have come together with a sincere desire to learn from Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would contemplate this truth, and that, Lord, we would not just contemplate it, but may we appropriate it into our lives. May we come to the place where we find a rest for our souls because of this relationship with the joy giver. Lord, may that be a remaining joy. Lord, may we choose not to let it go. Lord, I pray that You would bless Your people for their faithfulness, give them safety as they return to their homes. Be with the many of our church that are desiring prayer. We think of Melissa as she goes in for surgery in the morning. Would You be ever close to her and to Brother Juan and to the children? And Lord, we think of Brother George. We pray, Lord, that perhaps if he would undergo the surgery tomorrow or Friday, that You would expedite his recovery and put him back on his feet again. Lord, be especially near and close to him this night. For we pray and ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.